Trust is the highest form of human motivation. It brings the very best out inside people. That doesn't preclude the necessity to train and develop them so that their competency can rise to the level of that trust. If he hadn't have come through, I wouldn't have all of a sudden lowered the boom. I would go back in. Where's the problem? Maybe green is too much. Maybe just clean for this little kid, see? We want him to have small successes, one right after another, so that they gradually build. One of the reasons many people are very hesitant to delegate is they don't have confidence that the other person will really come through. And particularly when it deals with things that are very important. One of the ways to deal with that problem is to make it clear when you set up the stewardship agreement, or what you could call the performance contract. When you set it up and you deal with the item called guidelines, identify the different levels of initiative that they are allowed to exercise or not allowed to exercise. Let me identify five levels of initiative. First, wait till told. That's pure gopher delegation, isn't it? Don't do anything until I tell you. Second, ask. Ask. Third, recommend. Recommend. Fourth, do it and report immediately so that the information is immediately correlated with all that's happening. And if a mistake is made, it can be corrected instantly. Do it and report immediately. And fifth, do it and report routinely. That's the full delegation. Do it and report routinely. Now, let's say you have a couple of very important areas that you cannot afford mistakes to be made in the delegation. Say to them, in this area, you're at level 3. Try to move away from 1 and 2, where I'm anxious to get your recommendation. What do you recommend be done? Bring to me a problem, bring to me a recommended solution, see? In that area, recommendation. If you go down to 2, then you've got to ask them. If you go down to 1, they're going to just wait. No one told me. I don't have any understanding at all exactly what my duties are. Of course I have an ambiguous job description. No one's told me. No, you say, if you ever have a problem, level initiative 3, bring your recommendations. Now, then you get into the areas that you have a little more confidence and or the issue is not as critical, where mistakes could be made without such disastrous consequences. Now move into 4 and 5. See? Gradually, you can move people higher and higher in this delegation area. As you do that, what do you think happens to your discretionary time? Goes up and up and up. Why? Because people are taking more and more of the duties and responsibilities that you otherwise would be doing, plus all that supervision. You could get into a span of control of 1 to 20 to 30 people. See, most people think of span of control of 6, 8, 10 people. That's because they don't know how to have a complete delegation. You have to be smart and go wise and be patient. You can't do it all at once. You help people grow. That's the PC idea. Little by little, level 3. Maybe just level 2 for some people. Just ask. You see something wrong, ask about it. Level 3 in this area. There may be some areas, like changing policies, wait till told. You give a blanket, do whatever you think is wise at the time, then, you know, they might be messing around with stuff you don't want them to mess around with at all. So you have to be very discriminating. How many here acknowledge delegation is very hard for you? How many often say, why delegate? Because I end up doing it again myself anyway. You know, I just spend more time correcting the mistakes that were made initially. Strong emotional hesitancy on the part of many people to delegate. In fact, J.C. Penney reached the point where he said one time, the most important milestone of my business career took place the day I realized I couldn't do it anymore myself. So I had to delegate. He was forced to by circumstances, but see, he was so good at it. So good at it. In fact, that's the difference between being a producer and a manager. That's the difference. A dentist is a producer. It's labor intensive. He has to work with the patient. He does the diagnosis. He does the filling, the drilling, the correcting, and so forth. That's a producer. As soon as the dentist hires someone else to do the hygienic work, to do the prep work, to do other of the important duties but don't require the same level of skill, the dentist becomes a manager. As soon as you become a manager, you're moving the fulcrum over. You're working into high leverage activities, but while you're moving the fulcrum over, what's happening to production? Goes down. So people that have a short-term P mentality, they want the golden egg, see? They're the ones that have the hardest time to delegate because it takes so much time to move the fulcrum over. You can certainly pick up that room better than the child, make it better, see? But the key is you want to empower the child to do it. But that takes time. You got to get involved in training and development, see? Patience, emotional bank accounts, see? That takes time. But oh, how valuable that time is. Downstream, it saves you so much time to spend that time up front in setting up the proper delegation. That's what a manager does. That's the difference between being a producer and being a manager. They know how to delegate. That's the essence of it. Really, how to give responsibility and hold the person responsible. That's the essence of it. Now, you know what the difference between a manager and a leader is? Habit two. Where are we going? What are we about? What's our vision? What's our purpose? What are our values? I like the story about the producers down there hacking their way through the jungle with a machete. Thick undergrowth, just cutting their way through it. They get tired. Back here are the managers, see? And they're sharpening the machetes for them. And they are putting on machete-wielding muscle development classes and skills for machete wielders. They prepare working schedules for machete wielders and checklists for machete wielders to follow. The leader climbs the tallest tree in the jungle, surveys the whole scene, the larger picture, studies the trends, what's happening out there, what does the future hold, what's happening in here, and screams out, "Wrong jungle!" Managers and the producers shout back, "Shut up, we're making progress!" In other words, they're going in the wrong direction. That's the role of leadership. Direction. And motivation. Modeling. Inspiring people around that vision so that it marshals their energies and taps their own ingenuity and creativity toward that vision. That's the role of leadership. Now, where is leadership on your four quadrants? Where do you come up with these innovative ideas? Number two, everything that's truly significant, I suggest, is in number two. Well, you know you have to do number one. That's both urgent and important. But you want to keep number one as small as possible because that's where the crises are. Work on two, leadership and management. Now, what I'd like to do is to kind of briefly summarize this habit. After you prioritize, then you organize in either the ways of organizing your own life through scheduling and the use of a tool, or in delegating to other people using as much as possible the stewardship approach, then the key is to execute around those priorities. In other words, do it. You see, in the last analysis, time management is a misnomer. It really means self-management, doesn't it? Most people do not execute, do not apply the discipline themselves because they haven't deeply prioritized. It's not deep enough within them. It's still on the surface. So they're shallow and they get disrupted and up-pulled by all of the fickle forces that play upon their life. So people who say, "I'm lacking discipline," usually it's because they have not prioritized deeply enough. Now, sometimes they have prioritized, but they simply are a product of their moods and their feelings, not of their commitments and their decisions. So they have to cultivate the habit of proactivity. In fact, these three habits so tie together in such a marvelous way, they build on each other sequentially, but they reinforce each other. Let me look at those three habits again. First, the habit of being proactive. That means you're the programmer. Second, write the program. Begin with the end in mind. Where do you want to go? That's leadership, see? Third, gets into production and management. First things first. Now that you have your priorities, organize around them, execute around them.